The Golden State Warriors are the 2015 NBA champions. Their first title in 40 years.
For the first time since 1954, the Giants are world champions.
4 championships in the last 5 years. Yeah, I'd say it's today's golden days.
Just like the tombs in Egypt, soon as you see it, you'll be speechless. Golden, no job when we slide through. We gon' provide you with something to ride to. Golden, just like the tombs in Egypt, soon as you see it, you'll be speechless. Golden, no job when we slide through. We gon' provide you with something to ride to. Golden, golden, golden.
That's right, it's the Bay's Golden Days NFL Draft Special with Marcus Boucher
and Harneet Graywall.
That's right, we're about to break down all the NFL draft coverage from the craziest stories in the NFL first round, from guys falling, from taking gas masks to the face, to the best picks of the day. That's right, but being from the Bay Area, you know we got to break it down for you, and we got to make sure that you all know the NFL draft matters.
The first round of the NFL draft. A history of hilarity. 2003, Matt Millen accidentally drafts his pot dealer. 2005, the 49ers select this ass cupcake ahead of Aaron Rodgers. 2005, the Titans buy hundreds of strippers brand new Lexuses. 2007, Al Davis selects a 300-pound pet rock number one overall. The NFL draft is f***ing hilarious. Laugh your ass off Thursday.
We hope you laughed your ass off this Thursday at some of the NFL's craziest stories. You know, being from the Bay Area, you might have ended up with an ass cupcake or a pet rock in your day. But, you know, in the 2016 draft, bar got set at a brand new high by Laremy Tunsil.
Man, Laremy Tunsil, who had the worst draft day possible, had his social media accounts on Twitter and Instagram hacked, released posts that were like so detrimental to his draft day stock. He literally had a video of him smoking a gas mask bong. For anybody out there that doesn't know what this is a bong water pipe connected to a mask that goes around your entire face so you can inhale every single drop of smoke that comes out, and which also led to an Instagram post that came out that was posted that released information showing that Laremy Tunsil took money from his assistant coaches while at Ole Miss. And Marcus, this is going to set a new set of violations that are going to come against Ole Miss, but we can get into that later. But we need to show some Bay Area love.
Yeah, that's right. As far as he slid down the board with all that weed, that gas mask, and ooh, that money he was taking to the coach, we got to start it off at the top of the board and show some love to the boy Jared Goff. You know, Bay Area. Where's Marshawn at? Where's Marshawn at?
Town business going to be in the building.
That's right. Marshawn got to show some Bay Area love. Because we got to start it off. The first overall pick was Jared Goff out of Cal. And then they went back-to-back with Carson Wentz, quarterback. So Eagles and Rams both taking quarterbacks number one and number two overboard. Neither of these guys, in my opinion, were the top two prospects in this draft. To me, it was L.A. trading up for that draft pick because they're now the Los Angeles Rams. That's right. Jerry Jones says it. The Los Angeles Rams. So they wanted the media day leading up to the draft, and they just wanted to own it all. What's your opinion on the first two quarterbacks taken?
Yeah, I completely agree. I do not think that they were the best talent in the draft overall, but as you said, they are the Los Angeles Rams, and they are trying to make a big move and make a big splash coming into the Hollywood. It's Hollywood, baby.
That's right. It's Hollywood. So, you know, they had to take over the draft, but what that really did was set up the draft for the rest of the teams who had picks 3 through 7 through 10, anybody really, because with two quarterbacks going off the top of the board, that meant that the overall top prospects were just available, just sitting there for the San Diego Superchargers. But I like to call them the Super Chokers, because the San Diego Chargers went with a shocker, a little shocker to some people, and took Joey Bosa, the defensive end out of Ohio State. And here's the thing, top prospect, Laremy Tunsil, the irony, right? Gets caught with his gas mask right before the draft. Hey, Joey Bosa started the year off with a suspension. Marijuana. That's right, Joey Bosa, same prospects, or same issues, and here he is going number three overall. Your take on Joey Bosa?
He has talent, but the part with the Laremy Tunsil thing, it's just mind-blowing to the fact that it's the same situation, and Laremy Tunsil is in the room while this is all happening.
Yes, so that's the difference. The live aspect is too. It's just something we've never seen, and this is the age of social media now, and that's a whole new thing that these athletes have got to deal with.
And what was crazy to me is the fact that while we're sitting here watching the draft, they didn't even know if it was him or not, and me and you clearly saw the video and saw him take that gas mask off and show his face,
right,
laughing.
The nerve of Susie, whoever she was interviewing, asking him, was that you in the video? Yes. How do you not see the video? She said, was that just a picture? Like, there's just a picture out only? Come on,
they
man.
They could have seen the sweat on his head coming down the entire time. It was him.
He was dripping. But like I said, that caused a lot of other people to fall. He was still on the board. But the Cowboys, with their elite offensive linemen, didn't even take a second look at him. And guess who they went with?
They went with Ezekiel Elliott, another Ohio State off the board. And to me, he's got big shoes to fill, being compared to Emmitt Smith completely. Like, they expect him to make that kind of impact. And I just don't see it in an immediate form. But I think that the best pick of the draft was made by the Jacksonville Jaguars, Jalen Ramsey.
Yeah, that's big right there. See, my pick in my mock draft, you would have checked us out on the Bay's Golden Days on IG. Yep, that's right. I had Jalen Ramsey going to the Cowboys because I thought that was a huge need. But obviously, they wanted to go with Ezekiel Elliott. The Cowboys fan base really wanted to go with Ezekiel Elliott badly. They are all over Ezekiel Elliott. They think he's the next coming of Emmitt Smith, like Harnit said over here. And it's crazy things that we've got to do, but you got to think, behind the offensive line, he has a great chance of running, but I guess that's bad news for DMC owners. They're like myself over here. They got Alfred Morris, but now they got a lot of talent in that backfield. But yeah, moving on to that next pick, the Jacksonville Jaguars. Strikey huge with Jalen Ramsey, arguably the number one draft pick, or the number one overall prospect, falls right into their lap.
And with that other pick in the second round with Miles Jack, to me, they are just the winners of the NFL draft in 2016 with those two picks. And with Jalen Ramsey, his potential at corner and his ability to be versatile, they could even play him in many other roles. I think he's going to have such an impact immediately when he gets on the field.
Oh, yes, playing safety, of course. And you mentioned it, Miles Jack. That's huge because at the number five spot, they didn't think that Jalen Ramsey was going to be on the board. So to have Miles Jack or Jalen Ramsey, that was their big debate. They're going back and forth arguing, who are we going to take? Who's our number one prospect? And they ended up getting both. Can you believe it?
It is ridiculous. They are the winners.
Yes, definitely winners. Moving on right after that, we finally see our first offensive lineman go off the board. Ronnie Stanley, not Larry Tunsil. That's right. The Baltimore Ravens, who had a huge need at offensive line after losing KO to the Raiders this year, had to go offensive lineman. They saw the gas mask video, and they took him straight off the board.
And this is a man that was rated at once on Mel Kiper's number one prospect overall coming into the draft, just dropping.
While he had to go, and he's just watching the millions just fall and fall and fall, the millions he could have made through this draft, getting picked at six.
Just blowing away like the smoke that he let out.
Oh, yes, exactly. Then we move on to the number seven. That's right, DeForest Buckner. We're going to talk about this little Chip Kelly pick. We're going to break down the full Bay Area coverage later, Harnit, right?
Yep, I got a lot to say on like this entire pick and this whole draft process by the San Francisco Niners under the new Chip Kelly era.
The new Chip Kelly era. And then moving on, Jake Coughlin gets drafted by Tennessee, moving up in the draft. That's one of the guys I got right in my mock draft. That's right, check that out on IG, the Bay's Golden Days. And I got Leonard Floyd. The next pick, right? Also, he went to Chicago. He's a great outside linebacker. The Chicago Bears really did have a pretty good draft, getting Whitehair in the second, a nice center, and getting Bullard, defensive lineman from Florida, in the third. They had a pretty good draft. Moving next, the New York Giants getting Eli Apple, which is kind of a reach. A lot of people didn't like him.
Yes, it was. That was a shocker to me.
Yeah, I mean, in my opinion, especially taking him before Vernon Hargreaves, which was a huge reach to me. Yeah. I like Vernon Hargreaves. Yes. He does have the measurables of him, maybe not the 6 foot or whatever, but the kid just plays ball, and he just goes out there and balls out.
Third Ohio State player right off the board on the top 10.
Yep, and as we said, the next pick was Vernon Hargreaves, who I had predicted right because I thought would go to the Buccaneers, which makes a lot of sense. Right after that, going to New Orleans, Sheldon Rankins, another pick I got right. Defensive lineman, solid pass rush from the inside.
He is, and then came the man, Laremy Tunsil.
The final hour finally came, huh?
To Miami with the pick that they acquired from the Eagles. And then after that came your team.
Yes, my team. You can't just skip over the Laremy Tunsil. Huge. Finally going at 13. The millions and millions of dollars he missed out from going to 5-6. The biggest draft day. He went down faster than a doobie at a D-Lo concert. I'm telling you. Laremy Tunsil was just dropping out here. And he goes 13. That's a huge steal for the Dolphins.
That draft day wasn't even the saddest day. The saddest day will when he sees what Joey Bosa will be getting paid at that number 3 pick compared to what he will pick, or even Ronnie Stanley at the number 6 pick. The differential in money and guaranteed money is going to be incredible.
Yes, exactly. So that's a huge payday for him. But like he said, moving on to 14, we got the Oakland Raiders. That's right, taking Carl Joseph. And the only thing we need to know about Carl Joseph so far, because I'm going to break him down later in the draft, Reggie McKenzie, scrambling. The only thing he had to scramble for was get Carl Joseph's number, because that was his guy and that's who he wanted to take. That's right, he loved him some Carl Joseph. Moving on though, we finally get to see a wide receiver come off the board. Corey Coleman finally goes to the Cleveland Browns after Cleveland Browns traded down a couple of times. You know, people thought, what are the Browns going to do? And then they pulled their best draft day attempt and just kept on trading down and finally got the wide receiver they wanted.
And this was another shock to me because I thought like Laquon Treadwell at the whole time pre-draft and coming even to the day of the draft, he was still ranked number one in all the pre-mock drafts, and you see Cleveland going after another Baylor man.
And that's the thing now. They got that connection. Okay, Baylor to Baylor. RG3, they got his old Baylor boy back. The Baylor Bears are going to be in there just having a time of their life. You got to think that's going to be his connection, same style offense. They want RG3 to succeed in Cleveland. This was a great pickup. Moving on now to pick Sweet 16. Detroit finally attacks that offensive line, takes Taylor Decker out of Ohio State. Got to have something to finally keep Matthew Stafford standing upright.
Yeah, he's going to need that, especially because he's going to be standing there a lot longer without Calvin Johnson this year. And with that pick, they took out the fourth offensive tackle off the board. And guess what? Another Ohio State player. That's four in the top 16.
How did they lose a game last year? And it doesn't stop there, folks. It doesn't stop there. The big Ohio State.
OSU.
But moving on, we're going to 17 now. And this is where it's interesting right now because people, a lot of people criticize the Raiders pick at 14 for Carlos Joseph, saying it was a reach for safety. There's no safeties in this draft class that should go in the mid rounds. But then look at number 17, Keanu Neal, Florida. This is another hard hitting safety that really finds his way in the box. But that's the thing. If they're willing to take Keanu Neal at 17, you would think for sure that they were going to take Carlos Joseph there. So I'm not even mad at Reggie Kinzie for taking him at 14 right there.
I completely agree. I believe Carl Joseph is a lot better, and he's a lot more versatile in what he's going to be able to do for that Raiders team.
Right. And then after that, we finally get some more defense getting drafted, right? We got the New York Jets, who have been always known for their defense. They take Darren Lee, outside linebacker at Ohio State.
Did you hear that? Ohio State.
Another Ohio State. And this is a guy who I found interesting because he kind of does remind me of safety. He used to play safety earlier in his career, and he moved to linebacker. He's a really fast guy. Not the greatest tackler. He won't make all the tackles on the field, but he is a very good coverage guy, obviously playing safety in the past. So that's what the NFL is coming to now, more of tweener players between linebackers and safety who play both, and he's listed as a linebacker.
Yeah, when they're going to have to play the Patriots, they're going to have to get on that for sure.
Yeah, he's definitely going to have to be covering some people out there. So it's a pretty good pickup when you think of that.
Yes, it is. And then next we go to another wide receiver taken off the board, Will Fuller by Houston.
And we get a run. That's right. We get a run. Who would have thought the wide receivers are out here running? We get three back-to-back-to-back wide receivers. Will Fuller out of Notre Dame, a guy who is a huge big play threat, kind of comparable to DeSean Jackson when he's coming to Cal. He ran a 4.3 out of 40.
God,
and this
ridiculous.
Guy is just moving. So they're talking about they bring in Brock Osweiler now, and they just wanted more weapons. They'll have DeAndre Hopkins, and now to add speed like Will Fuller on the outside. What do you think about Josh Doctson going number 22 right after that to Washington, huh? With DeSean Jackson there, just as I bring him up. Nice little segue, huh?
I think Kirk Cousins got a lot happier that they were looking out for him. He's got another weapon that he can look towards.
Another weapon, because that's the thing. I think DeSean Jackson now is getting up to about 29 years old. Him and Pierre Garçon are getting up there a little bit in age. You got to think Kirk Cousins, young quarterback, get him some young weapons.
D-Jack is honestly almost probably 35 in football years with how many injuries this man has taken. You can't even expect this guy to play a full season. So you need these extra weapons to be back there, especially somebody young coming in. Hopefully they can keep him healthy. That's the biggest key for Kirk Cousins, and that is their future.
Yep, that is true, absolutely. And it doesn't hurt to have enough weapons, and a man who has certainly happened to have another weapon is Teddy Bridgewater out in Minnesota. You said it earlier, your favorite wide receiver in the draft, Laquon Treadwell, and this is a man that the Minnesota Vikings will finally have a wide receiver over 6 foot they could throw to, a big man.
I love this. I know Teddy Bridgewater was at home clapping, going crazy for this, especially after what Blair Walsh did at the end of the playoffs last year for them.
Right, he didn't want no more field goals. He wants points. He want points. He needs a big man. He can throw it up to the end zone. This is going to be great. You got eight man in the box for you. Throw it up there for him.
Yeah, he's got the height and he's got the hands. If you just put that ball, what Teddy Bridgewater can do, because he still chooses to be a pocket passer, even though he's got the burners on the feet, and which I love about him, and I know he's going to be able to deliver that ball to him.
Yes, exactly. Even with Stephen Diggs, you add that now, a little slot wide receiver can go. He's very good with his route running, very speedy guy. It's going to be a great combination there for him.
Yes, it is.
But moving on to the next. This is where it gets interesting for me, because this is where division rivalry's got to pick back to back right here. Yes, we're talking 24 and 25, the Cincinnati Bengals and the Pittsburgh Steelers. And that's right, the Cincinnati, they must have been tipped off, must have known that the Steelers, of course, they want to draft a corner this year because they haven't drafted a corner since 2003. Yeah, that's right, Troy Polamalu. They haven't drafted a corner in the first round, or DB in the first round since Troy Polamalu. So they came back, they wanted William Jackson, a big 6'3 corner, very athletic, very fast. And a lot of people say he could turn out to be a best corner in this draft. But what do you know? Cincinnati Bengals swooped him right in front of him. 24 pick overall, had to leave. Artie Burns, cornerback from Miami, doesn't have the same potential as William Jackson III, right in front of him. What do you think? Good old division move.
I think that the Cincinnati Bengals definitely got something on the inside that made them want to make this move, especially right before knowing that your division rival is the one that you know you're going to have to fight with the hardest throughout the season to get that position, because Baltimore is not as good as they are, especially with the talent they have on their rosters. And Pittsburgh, with Le'Veon Bell and everybody coming back there, Cincinnati knows they need any edge that they can have against this team, because if that team is healthy, they will beat them.
Yeah, it never hurts to try to add more pieces to help stop Ben Roethlisberger, especially after losing Nelson to the Raiders this offseason.
Exactly, and with the amount of offense that Pittsburgh has, they definitely need corners to be able to stop that pass that's coming from Andy Dalton.
Yes, that is true. But Andy Dalton, one of the quarterbacks in the league. We had another young quarterback coming to the league. Not quite the Red Rifle, but this big, tall, skunk, Pepe Le Pew-looking guy. Paxton Lynch, quarterback out of Memphis, goes from Denver after Denver comes up and trades to Seattle, gives up a third-round pick to move up, which, you know, I thought he might have been there at 34. I don't know who they're trading ahead of who thought was going to take Paxton Lynch in the first place, so I don't know if they just wasted a third-round pick moving up. But your thoughts on Paxton Lynch and the Broncos moving up for him?
I think Denver is desperate to figure out the quarterback situation right now, and I know that the rest of their fans and the entire organization is worried about this, and I think they just went for a safer move knowing that they just won the Super Bowl. They're going to be considered champions for the entire year, no matter what, granted. And I think this was a good move for them just because they needed somebody that they think that they can rely on. And the best two quarterbacks were taken off in the top two. I think they just found that they needed to make a move at this point to grab him before anybody else did.
That's right, because when your QB1 is Mark Sanchez, the Sanchez.
The butt fumble.
The butt fumble master. You're definitely going to look up to make quarterbacks. So you can't blame him there, but I just don't know about giving him that third round pick. But no, hey, go ahead and tell him. That big, tall guy. You know who else was big, tall? Brock Osweiler. So, I mean, they're pretty comparable prospects. Brock Osweiler went down hard when he saw Khalil Mack. So, hey, Paxton Lynch, I hope you're listening. Get ready for the Mack attack, baby.
He's probably already watching film.
Yep, that's right. You know he's listening to Bay's Golden Days. Yep.
Yeah, but that trade set off a bunch of chain reactions that me and you thought that reason why San Francisco ended up moving up two picks later after Green Bay picked Kenny Clark, the defensive tackle out of UCLA.
Well, that's true, because the Niners go after Josh Garnett right there, which we're going to talk about a little bit later when we break down the Niners and the Raiders draft overall. But that's one reason I want to mention now why I think the Niners did trade up when they did, because a lot of people said, well, they maybe could have got that guard in the second round, all right? But the reason they moved up, you know who also needed an offensive lineman? The Seattle Seahawks. And with Garnett being the best offensive guard, inside presence, best run blocking inside presence in the draft, they had to make a move to go up and get draft ahead of the Seattle Seahawks, get back in the first round, because they went and took Ifedi from Texas A&M. So they went with the offensive lineman. So in my mind, it does make a little bit of sense.
Yeah, I see. I was honestly surprised when it first initially came out that they traded, because I think they gave up too much, but we're gonna get into that later. I'll give you my whole spiel about that when it comes.
And then moving on, the very next pick after the Niners, which is one of my favorite picks in the draft, one of the guys I like a lot, is Robert Kimdiche. This is a guy who's a little bit crazy. You might have heard of him. He got busted falling out of a hotel room about 15 feet in the air. He got busted with a bunch of pot and he was blacked out drunk. But hey, if this guy plays ball, this is one of the top five prospects in the draft, arguably. And this guy's got the measurable. He's a freak athlete. He's huge, and he could just move all over the field. And I think Arizona is the perfect landing spot for him, because you got to think, who else went there? Tyrann Mathieu, the honey badger. You got to think about the off-field issues that he went through coming out of LSU and everything. He just put it together. People said he was kind of a strange guy himself, and look at him now. Pro bowler, one of the best DBs in the league. So I really like this pick to the Cardinals here.
And as of right now, I'm scared for Blaine Gabbert, because now he has to face Chandler Jones and Kindiji. So,
and Campbell.
Exactly, but yeah, those are just two new additions, and I just feel bad for him.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. So that sucks for the Niners line. But, hey, hopefully, like we said, we'll break down the Niners later, and they did add some more linemen to the draft, just like they added Garnett. But then we added up the first round. Carolina Panthers go up and take Vernon Butler, D-tackle out of Louisiana Tech. Kind of a reach there with some other defensive tackles who are really good still on the board. And like I said, Ifedi went to Seattle with that trade pick from Denver, and Seattle picks up an extra third-round pick. But then we move up to day two. Day one comes to the end. And, man, I got to tell you, day two, there was still a lot of talent left
this
on the board.
This was such a deep draft. To think that some of these names that got taken off in just the first five picks were still on the board and never got drafted in the first round is unbelievable to me.
Yeah, it's crazy. And then all the storylines going into it, a lot of linebackers. There were three middle linebackers who were all projected first-round grade. And I'm talking Jalen Smith, Miles Jack, and Reggie Ragland. And they're all sitting around second-round pick. And me being a Raiders fan, I'm sitting there saying, we need a middle linebacker. Reggie, you got to make a move for one of these guys. And what do you know? We see a couple of trades happen. Bada boom, bada bing. And that's what happened.
And with Jalen Smith, with Dallas's pick that they made, and with the third pick in the second round, to me was a great pick for them. I think that they're going to go. I think that and their pick in the first round with Ezekiel Elliott, even though they should have picked Jalen Ramsey, like I said earlier, I think those two picks are actually going to do them very well. I think he will have a more immediate impact than Ezekiel Elliott will, even with that offensive line, how good that is.
Yeah, I don't know about immediate impact because people say he might have to sit out a year with that injury. They're not sure yet. He'd come out and say he did. But the thing that's interesting with me, the Dallas Cowboys pulling off their little Dr. Shocker. They're going to come in and say, hey, Jalen Smith, he has a terrible knee. Because hear this, folks. It's just a coincidence that the team doctor for the Cowboys was the one who did the surgery on Jalen Smith. So, hey, I'm not saying that he purposely scared all of them away, saying that he won't play for a year, blah, blah, blah. But then all of a sudden, the Cowboys take Jalen Smith in the second round. And Jalen Smith is smiling, crying, and guaranteeing he's going to play again sometime this year.
Now, that's exactly why. That was one of the reasons for that insider tip that made me actually believe that he actually had potential of actually returning and making some impact. Because on one thing that the Cowboys always have with linebackers are injuries. Sean Lee can't even play a full season. That's who true. They relied on. Yep. And I can just see him, like, even if it's just a game or two, I think they'll see a lot of promise from him if he can just stay healthy and go in there because he's a fighter. He's a competitor. And yes. You can see that from the way he plays, and he wants the ball. And that's the way that Notre Dame team is.
And that's the thing. He was arguably the number one prospect before the knee injury, the gruesome knee injury, where he just got pushed in a bowl game, which was terrible for him. But like I said, knee injuries were the hot topic because going on while San Diego was taking a tight end, they're satisfied with Manti Te'o. Two picks later, goes to Jacksonville, and they get their man, Miles Jack, the man who they're arguably discussing for the fifth overall pick in the first round.
To me, this was the move of the draft that set the Jacksonville Jaguars apart from any other organization in the NFL for the draft day, because now they just got a player that they were debating on choosing with that number 5 overall because Jalen Ramsey wasn't going to be available prior to mock drafts, and they got both of them in just in the first two rounds. And to me, they're getting A+ on my books for the NFL draft for 2016.
And the thing that I love about the most is that they made the move and traded up with Baltimore.
Exactly.
They made the move. You know, they said, hey, we're adding pieces because that defense coordinator comes over from the Seahawks. He's now the head coach. They're going defense, 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 and they're ramping that up. They're getting Dante Fowler back from injury last year. That defense line is going to be something to look out for. It is going to be nice looking at that defense of Jacksonville. They're coming up. I said it a couple years ago. People thought it was crazy. But they got some good offensive pieces, and now that defense now
– Blake Bortles, almost his TD interception ratio last year was highest of his career, and now those numbers out of his career don't look crazy bad because he's tossing that ball. He's getting those passing yards. Yeah, some of those might be during garbage time because, yeah, the Jacksonville Jaguars are the Jacksonville Jaguars, but still, he's still got to be able to throw an accurate ball for that receiver to catch.
Yeah, that's true, but hopefully we'll see him in some more primetime games this year, and I'm looking forward because the Raiders play the Jacksonville Jaguars this year, and I'm looking forward to that game.
I think this might be the first time in a decade I might say I'm excited to watch a Jacksonville Jaguars game.
Right? Imagine how many people are listening to this and just saying, wow, this guy's excited to watch a Raiders versus Jaguars game. What year is this, huh? what year are we living in? But let's not get off topic because we talked about the trade up to go up and make the move for Jack. But there was another trade made right in front of the Raiders' face because there was still one more first round mocked linebacker in the draft, and that's Reggie Ragland out of Alabama. This is a guy a lot of people had mocked going to 14 overall to the Raiders. I wasn't too big of a fan of it. Evan Moore is a 2-down linebacker. He doesn't have great speed, not great coverage range. But he's an overall good player. He gets in there, busts it up, put his nose in there. He's not afraid to get dirty. Yeah. So that's a great pick by Buffalo. He'll go play for Rex Ryan now, and it could be a great fit.
Exactly. I think that him playing in that system is going to flourish. I think they got him at a steal to get him down at where they did, and they are going to be very happy that they actually got him the way they did and made that trade because they needed that.
All right, and that wasn't the only later round draft pick that the Buffalo Bills make. They take Cordell Jones, quarterback, guess who?
OSU.
That's right, another OSU player. Coming out of the national championship game, people projected him to be a first-round pick, and he comes back to school, and now falls.
I don't see much promise with him. I think that he needs to be in a specific system that only fits him. I don't think that his accuracy is crazy good. Yeah, he's semi-mobile, not crazy like some of the other athletes are coming out. But I think that he needs a lot of playing time to get adjusted into like how quick this game speed is going to be and how accurate he's going to need to be and make those over-shoulder throws that I don't think that he's capable of making, especially in the red zone.
That's true. And we'll get more into some quarterback talk later. Some of the quarterbacks, because both the Raiders and the Niners took quarterbacks in this draft. But our last couple draft picks that we like later in the day, how about round 3, another OSU guy, Braxton Miller, going to the Texans. So not only DeAndre Hopkins, they add Will Fuller, and now Braxton Miller. Talk about giving Brock some weapons to play
they're
with.
They're taking a book out of Al Davis's book. Like, they're taking speed. A play out of Al Davis's book because look at how much speed they have along those lines now. Yep. Brock Osweiler is one happy camper.
No doubt. No doubt about that. So that's good for him. Another second-round pick I like was the Seattle Seahawks getting Jaron Reed, defensive lineman from Alabama. That's huge. Great value getting that in the second round. Makes a lot of impact. And you know, defensive line for Seahawks, they're just going to keep on substituting guys in, bringing them in, bringing them out, keeping them fresh. And that wasn't the only defensive lineman who fell in the draft. Also, I'm talking about a little bit earlier, the Chicago Bears were able to get Jonathan Bullard in the third round, defensive lineman out of Florida. Very good pick. And then the Bengals were able to get Andrew Billings late in the draft also. So a lot of D linemen, like you said, it was a very deep draft, right? And while all these defensive linemen were going, here's a name to throw at you. Derrick Henry goes to the Tennessee Titans. Who would have thought after bringing in DeMarco Murray, they bring in Derrick Henry, the Heisman winner from Alabama.
This man rushed for over 2,000 yards last season, and he drops down into the second round. This even had me kind of shocked because I thought many teams that could have honestly used him, but they went in another direction. And I love the fact that right after the draft, DeMarco Murray came out and told his head coach that he is excited for their pick, and he is excited to mentor him and teach him the ways of becoming a great running back in the NFL.
Yeah, we'll see how long it is before he really takes over. DeMarco Murray, getting up there in age, didn't have too productive year last year in Philadelphia, so we'll see how that situation. Only two running backs took it in the first two rounds, and so that's all we got right now, talking about our first couple draft picks. We hope you liked our coverage right now, but last minute, let me give a shout-out to my boy Dominic Jackson, getting undrafted free agent, got picked up by the Washington Redskins. You know, we had to hold it down for the Bay Area, and let me give a shout-out to Travis Feeney, repping Pinole Valley, repping for my boy Pizzo, got drafted to the Pittsburgh Steelers. You know, Bay Area, we got to show love to all the Bay Area athletes that we know, relationship, played ball with, so it's cool. Seeing people succeed and stuff like that. But coming up, we got to get back to the Raiders and the Niners. That's right. The Bay Area stuff. And, let me play some music that I know that the Raiders will just, it's just music to their ears. They're going to enjoy this nice little preview. Check it out. Khalil Mack.
With the fifth pick in the 2014 NFL Draft, the Oakland Raiders select Khalil Mack, linebacker, Buffalo.
Excited, are you?
I'm blessed, man. I'm very excited, man, to be an Oakland Raider, man. This is a dream come true.
I'm ready to come in and work, but as well, man, I'm a raw talent still. I have to get better, and I'm looking forward to the challenge. It's going to be a blessing, man, and I can't wait.
That's right. A lot of raw talent was out here in this NFL draft, and let's see what the Raiders and the Niners got, because for the first time in a long time, it was not the Raiders with a top 10 draft pick. It was the Niners. So, Hardy, kick us off.
Yes, it was. We had the number 7 pick overall in the 2016 NFL draft, and what did the first time that anybody that is a fan of the Niners organization gets to see what Chip Kelly really has for his impact for the future of the San Francisco 49ers. He drafts from his, I would say, alma mater, pretty much, DeForest Buckner, the defensive end out of Oregon, who last season had 17 tackles for a loss, 10.5 sacks, and 83 tackles, 45 of those coming solo. So, yeah, it was a good pick because he is talented and, like, above-average athleticism, which is going to allow him to do well for us. But for me, there were other needs that needed to be taken care of that were on the offensive line, and that's where I was a little upset with the pick, but Chip Kelly knows him. He recruited him over in Oregon. He knows how this man plays, and I think that with the coaching of Chip Kelly, he'll be able to do well for us. But the problem is, how long is Chip Kelly going to be there, and how long is he going to be there?
Exactly, and that's the thing. People will criticize him back-to-back years for taking a defensive end out of Oregon in the first round. But you got to understand, Chip Kelly wasn't there last year to take Armstrong, so you can't really pin that on him. But it does look bad taking a guy out of Oregon. But this is the guy who some people have even had Mock going 3 overall to the Chargers. I didn't believe he was a better prospect in Bosa, but this is a guy who's 6'7", just a raw athlete, a freak, really. But the thing that really stood out about me, we watched almost every top tackle, Jake Conklin, even third round guards out of Oregon State, and every single guy who had highlight tape against Oregon was getting underneath those pads. Yes. And just pancaking the man, just getting underneath him. And that's not what you want from a top 10 pick. You should never be getting pancaked.
No, it wasn't. And like, the pros that I can only see out of this situation is the fact that we had the 29th ranked rush defense last year, so we do need help on that side. And the problem with Chip Kelly's offense, which I'm assuming that which we are going to run, is the same hurry up offense. The problem with that is his defense is on the field longer than any other defense in the National Football League, and that is a problem for us, which I can understand why this pick made sense, but it also leads to why we made Adolph to trade with Kansas City to get that earlier pick, even though we gave up a good amount just to move up not that many spots.
Yes, just to move in, because you mentioned you are going to need that offensive lineman for that running system that Chip Kelly really wants. Because so it was very surprising seeing Laremy Tunsil, for an instance, drop there, the number one prospect, or number one overall tackle in a lot of people's eyes, fall there and be there at number seven for the Niners, and they choose to pass.
I was a little shocked because I understand what the issues that happened on the draft day with Laremy Tunsil, all that stuff about the gas mask. But for me, Niners have been an organization that have not really cared, and that's like about legal issues, and that shows with our third round pick, but we'll get into that later. But to me, he was the best talent out on the board, and we could really use him. Laremy Tunsil, to me, was the guy that I really wanted, but DeForest Buckner, we'll see what he can do for us. But as of right now, until he shows us something prominent, like I won't be happy with this pick completely.
That's true. We'll see what Buckner and Garnett both bring to the table. Like I mentioned earlier, Garnett was regarded as one of the best run-blocking inside interior linemen in this draft. So coming out of Stanford, he comes from a very good, very heavy run-dominant team. So he's going to come in and probably open up some holes for Carlos Hyde, which is a great improvement for him.
No, it definitely is, especially with that offense that's going to be like on the move at every second, and we don't even know who our actual quarterback's going to be, which is going to even make it even tougher, because in both scenarios, they're different quarterbacks, and it's going to make everything difficult for like the players on the offensive line to be able to understand how to run this offense, because they're going to need to be up, they need to be conditioned, they need to be able to move, and Carlos Hyde is a bigger back. He's not a guy that's probably going to be in there, for like all three downs every time. If we're going to be running that pace offense, he's going to be needing to step out, and hopefully Joshua Garnett can ease that load for him. But the problem with me is moving up and giving up that second round pick, as well as the fourth and sixth round pick, was a little out of control in their mind a little bit. Like, I just didn't get that.
Yeah, that's true. It is a move up. Just like I said earlier, a lot of people thought maybe Garnett would be there in the second round, but Niners couldn't take that chance with the Seahawks still on the board. They saw the Seahawks trade back, letting the Broncos move to Paxton Lynch, and they had to take advantage of that opportunity to go over Pryde. Was the best one of the best offensive linemen, if not the best offensive guard, at least, on their board.
I just wish I could have seen Chip Kelly stay away from another Pac-12 player immediately.
That's the thing, back-to-back Pac-12 players.
Exactly.
So they know his style of play, but they mentioned they have played each other before, and you got something to say about that? They've got a clip here for us?
Yeah, a reporter asked him about the elements about playing each other, because Stanford and Oregon rivals in the Pac-12, because they're always in the top two, fighting each other, like, is the best guard going against the best defensive end in the conference. That is a big matchup, and they got asked a question about their elements of that each other have and playing each other and how they are going to be able to work together to help the San Francisco Niners. Here it is.
Going against guys, I mean, there's a lot of guys from Oregon and Stanford that you see, and then to be able to be on the same team as those guys, I mean, big, strong, athletic, physical guys is what you can tell is really the common denominator between what they're looking for at San Francisco. And you can tell with these picks between myself and DeForest that's really what they're looking for. And I know, speaking for myself, that I'm really excited to be able to go against great players.
That was Joshua Garnett speaking on how he feels that the Chip Kelly era is going to be implemented with the new type of players that they're all looking for, which are athletic and versatile players that can fit any position to allow them to have any type of options they can with the style of play they're going to be doing in the 2016 season. But next comes, which to me, I still can't believe it, that the Raiders have a lower draft pick than the Niners, which sucks for us Niner fans, because we had it pretty good watching
That's
them
right.
get like a top five pick every year. We had it good. But
flipped.
Yep, and with the 14th pick, the Raiders,
they select Carl Joseph. That's right. Carl Joseph, safety after West Virginia. And hey, I gotta admit, Reggie McKenzie is not the only man who loves him some Carl. Yes, that's right. I'm talking KJ, not CJ. It would be cool, like CJ from San Andreas. But we got KJ added to the defensive backs now. Big man. Not big man, but he hits like a big man.
Yes,
5'10", 205. The thing about him, he's a big hitter. But that's not the only thing about him, because people say, oh, he's a big hitter. That's not going to work. And with the new rules in the league, he'll get penalties. But this man has shown great man-to-man coverage. He's dropped down, played in the slot. He can play in the box. And this guy is a ball hawk. I'm telling you, his last year, the reason why he's not projected and why people said he was a reach was he's coming off an ACL injury. In the year of his ACL injury, he led the NCAA in interceptions. This man had 3 picks in 1 game. The ball hawk. He goes after the ball. And like I said, with the ACL injury, it doesn't really concern me, because this was not like a contact injury. He's not just throwing his body all over the place at will. This was a freak injury at practice. It was non-contact. And the thing that really hit me about this guy, he was the team captain for the team. And the story about when he got hurt in college and they go to the trainer's room, The trainer couldn't even look him in the eye and say, I think you have a torn ACL. So he goes and gets the doctor. The doctor says, I don't want to look you in the eye. I don't want to tell him that his season's over. And as he goes outside, the whole entire team is just sitting outside of the locker room. And they say, we think that Carl has a torn ACL. And they said there wasn't a dry eye in the room.
And that just shows what type of player he is and what type of impact this guy makes for a football team. And, like, a captain being the safety of a team, that's uncommon. Like, for somebody like that's a defense and plays that position, not even a linebacker, you see a safety being the prominent position and everybody looking up to. And that says huge numbers about this guy. And the thing for me is, this is great for the Raiders because this fills the void of Charles Woodson leaving
as
well.
Yes, yes, yes. The huge shoes that are Charles Woodson. No way in hell you could ever replace a Charles Woodson. No way about that. But let me tell you, Carl Joseph, that was definitely our biggest need going into this draft, and he fills it. He's the type of player we are looking for. He's the type of guy who can go make plays, make some tackles, because we need some tackling in our damn DBs, and make some big plays for us. And this is why I thought it was a great pick, but let's hear what Jack Del Rio had to say about Carl Joseph.
We're looking to be, you know, really good on defense. We want to be a really good football team. Obviously, we've talked about secondary play and, you know, our desire to have it perform at a higher level, and I think the temperament that he brings and the intensity that he plays with, the instinctiveness that he has, those are things that we covet. So, you know, it should be a real competitive group. You know, we've added a couple of guys in free agency, and now to be able to add a player like Carl, it's awesome for us, you know, and now we get to work. But he's a playmaker, and he's a playmaker that takes good angles and also tackles and is known for his hitting, but he's more than just a hitter. I mean, I think he's a really good football player.
And Jack Del Rio is not the only one who thinks he's a really good football player. Quote, Mike Mayock, yes, that's right, draft guru, said he was a poor man's Earl Thomas. He also compared him to Bob Sanders, just a dynamic playmaker. Hey, so Raider fans, don't get ahead of yourself. Don't get ahead of yourself. A poor man, he said. Poor man's Earl Thomas. But you got to say, similar size, similar playmaking ability. So that is great things. Looking forward to the Raiders' future for the defense. But the Raiders did not stop there. After that, we went defense. That's right. Two, technically, defensive ends. But let me tell you, these two defensive ends are very different. First off, we had Jahad Ward out of Illinois coming out. He's more of a defensive tackle, defensive end. Big boy. 6'5", 297 pounds. But this kid is just an athlete. He ran a 5-flat 40-yard dash. And when I say he's an athlete, I'm not lying. In high school, he played wide receiver and safety. It wasn't until he got to junior college where he just kept on growing and growing. Obviously, he got up to almost 300 pounds where they said, man, we got to play some defensive line. And so he moved from safety to defensive line, then transferred after 2 years of junior college, goes to Illinois. So this guy has a really great story. I compare him to a guy who I liked in the draft earlier, Robert Kendiche. He's another big body, big athlete that can play both the defensive end and then move inside and play the three technique on the line. So that's another guy I like a lot. Some people compare him to Mario Edwards Jr. I think he'll play more on the inside than Mario Edwards Jr., but the next pick with another defense end brings up some questions about Mario Edwards Jr.'s neck to me, because he's had some neck injuries, and Jack Del Rio, Reggie McKenzie have passed it off for all right, but they have been very vague about his injury. So we went back-to-back defensive end, but the second defensive end out of Michigan State, Shalik Calhoun. And this is probably my favorite pick of the draft right here. Even though it's not an immediate need, he's a defensive end slash outside linebacker out of Michigan State. This is a guy who I say he's in the same mold of kind of an Alden Smith, a guy who can stand up, put his hand down on the ground. And this is a guy, not a one-time, not a two-time, a three-time All-American. That's right, a three-time All-American. This guy, he put up a 35-inch vertical, the best in the NFL combine. He put up a 4.25 20-yard shuttle, best in the combine. Put up a 6.97 three-cone, best in the combine. A 4.8 40. I mean, this guy is just a freak athlete. I don't know how he came to the third round, but it's an absolutely steal. Just to get depth outside, we got Mack, we got Alden Smith, we got Bruce Irvin. Just to add that depth, though, is huge for the Oakland Raiders.
It really is, just because coming right after picking Jahi Ward, and just because he had that minor knee procedure everybody was talking about, and in just in case if he has to like take an extra step back at any point that's not detrimental to his career, he's going to be able to step up and fill those shoes. And now you know that you have a backup that's ready, that's young, that can come in and like show you some good minutes.
Yes, exactly. And that's the thing. Ken Norton Jr., the defense coordinator from the Raiders, obviously who's the linebacker coach in Seattle. And what was the thing about those linebackers in that defensive line? They had a rotation set. They had fresh bodies coming in all the time. So both of these guys guys, both, quote, defense end, both different type of player, but they both can add depth to that front seven.
Yes, they can. And sticking to the defensive side, the Niners in the third and fourth round drafted two cornerbacks, going back-to-back cornerbacks. The first one out of Mississippi State with Will Redman, and in the fourth round with Rashard Robinson out of LSU. And both of these striked me because they were both, to me, like how when we drafted Marcus Lattimore late, or when we signed Marcus Lattimore late, it was a low-risk, high-reward type of situation. Even though we are in need of a cornerback spot, we need to get that position filled because we are lacking. And with how I said earlier, Chip Kelly, defense on the field a lot longer than everybody else, so we need to be able to stay out there with good conditioning and play with good cover corners. But Will Redman, the reason he dropped because he was a higher prospect was because everybody knows the ACL injury that he's coming off of, and the ACL, you never want to have problems with the knee, and that's just really bad for somebody that's not huge and will be, can take some hits out there and will be trying to lay hits and might get injured if he's trying to lay one. But the next pick was even a bigger gamble, which is why I was kind of upset when they drafted Rashard Robinson out of LSU, because he's athletic, did not even play the entire last season. He was suspended for off-field issues for charges, which were dropped, but another low-risk, high-reward situation. But this is why I would have rather have taken Laremy Tunsil with the first pick, because if you're willing to deal with off-field issues, why stop now when you had that talent out there to grab him at that point? Absolutely. That's where I think that Chip Kelly's Oregon influence came into play, which I've learned through my fantasy and all these fan duels and all these gambling things. You cannot pick with your heart. You need to pick with a business mind or you will never win. Like every time, and I've learned my lesson a lot. But another pick which I really liked, which I think will be a high reward for the San Francisco Niners if it comes in perfectly and we use them right, is our first pick in round 5 with 142nd overall from Appalachian State, the defensive lineman Ronald Blair. This man is an athlete and he is versatile and will be able to play in a lot of packages and schemes that Chip Kelly will run up, because he can play very well in the nickel and he's got a former alumni, Daniel Kilgore, to help him out there while throughout the way. But listen to these stats coming out last season. He had 70 tackles, 19 for a loss, and 7.5 sacks for Appalachian State. And like sometimes they're ending up playing Alabama and stuff. They play talent because they are with us in D1. So those are stats that are actually better than even when I consider looking at Carson Wentz, just because he played D2, because that type of talent is not the same when you're facing them. That's why I really like that pick. And for me, I think that one might be the one that's going to pay off the most for the Niners in the long run. What do you think?
Well, I mean, it's very interesting because you look at the Niners, what they did when they were winning football games. And what was the number one thing they did? They went to the trenches and they wanted to win in the trenches. So you've seen all these picks. They go defensive line, offensive line, and now they come back with a couple corners and now they go defensive line. And then we'll see later in the draft, they address that offensive line again. But this is what the Niners needed to get back, right?
Always. Run the ball and control the trenches. If you could run the ball and stop the run, you will win the game, just like Balky said in his press conference.
Yes, that's why. But looking at that draft from this couple rounds, your most mind-scratching draft in the fourth round right there, your little head-scratcher. But let me tell you a head-scratcher right here. The fourth round, the Oakland Raiders select Connor Cook. That's right. Quarterback, Michigan State. This is Bo Callahan from the movie Draft Day himself. I'm telling you. Nobody went to this kid's birthday party because nobody liked this kid. And look how far he fell in the draft. People had him as one. He's the most winning quarterback in Michigan State history. He's by far had the most impressive history resume in his draft. So it's crazy to see him fall to the fourth. And can you believe Reggie McKenzie traded up to get him?
Traded up, ladies and gentlemen.
Reggie McKenzie doesn't trade up for anybody. Reggie McKenzie trades back. So that was a shocker. And Reggie was like, yeah, he's just way too good of a player. And here, let me just break it down to Raiders fans. We all know Derek Carr is the quarterback for the next couple years, but let me give you some reasons why I do not hate this pick. I don't love it, of course, because quarterback, we don't need a backup quarterback in the fourth round, but here's why I don't hate this pick. You got to think about it. What's coming up next year? Matt McGloin's contract is coming up. This year, we already gave him a second round tender, so his contract already got increased by like $2.5 million. He's getting a lot more money than he should be for Matt McGloin, who's a decent quarterback out of Penn State, always played well, stepped in, played pretty well. But now you get Connor Cook, a guy who's got a lot of talent, very developmental talent, and this is a guy you can work on his attitude, put him around some good guys or whatever, blah, blah, blah. You get a good guy who's cheap, and you'll have that rookie contract for when Derek Carr's contract comes up, when he gets that payday, because we all know how much we got to pay quarterbacks. We got to pay Mac, we got to pay Cooper.
Yes,
coming up.
You do.
Everybody's got to get paid, so to have a backup quarterback with that rookie minimum contract coming out of the fourth round, which is huge. And another thing I like, we traded ahead of the Kansas City Chiefs, because the Kansas City Chiefs wanted to go for quarterback right there. That showed evidence they went after Kevin Hogan later in the draft. And that, like the Niners went and traded ahead of the Seahawks. Hey, go ahead, Raiders. Trade ahead of the Chiefs. addition by subtraction. Don't let your enemies get stronger. Make them get worse. And that's why I kind of like it. And they also traded ahead of the Dallas. You know, Jerry Jones also wanted Connor Cook. There's rumors that the Cowboys were going to take him to start round four. But, you know, I guess Mark Davis grew some balls and said, big F you to Jerry Jones. You know, you didn't let us go to L.A. You didn't let us go to San Antonio. So, hey, we're taking your quarterback of the future. Here we go. So, not too bad of a pick. There's some things to look forward to it.
And, yeah, that's where, like, the Niners also came in, where they drafted a quarterback in round six after going for two straight offensive linemen after picking Ronald Blair in the fifth round, who are, to me, similar in every aspect, or players that just need to be set up and, like, coaching will get them through, but they will be better on later on in the career. But Jeff Driscoll out of Louisiana Tech, who the Niners drafted with the 207th overall pick.
Speedster.
He is a speedster. He ran a 4.56 40-yard dash. And for Chip Kelly not to know that Colin Kaepernick is our starting quarterback yet, this is the man that is going to be the perfect fit and has the same exact type of style of play as Colin Kaepernick, except might be a better pocket passer than him, which will turn out to be huge. But the thing for this man is he's threw for over 4,000 yards last year, and his speed, his running ability will be able to confuse defenses. And I love it because for the Niners, our quarterback situation is not set. And honestly, Niner fans, if you really think that offense can be able to be run with Blaine Gabbert, you guys are being way too nice.
And that's the thing, you know, you hear Chip Kelly's coming to Frisco. He's coming to Santa Clara, right? So him and Kaepernick, my first thought, that's going to be the perfect fit. You're looking for a quarterback who can run that system, run his system, because he always liked to run it. You know, we saw what he did with Marcus Mariota in college. So you need a running quarterback. That's why I thought maybe they could take a chance on Oregon quarterback Vernon Adams later in the draft, but they didn't. They went with Driscoll here. He was a transfer from Florida. I remember seeing him play there. Great athlete, goes to Louisiana Tech and ends up here with the Niners.
Yeah, I'm very pleased with that pick, because especially with the quarterback situation, it's the most important position on the field, and because there's only one of them.
Yeah, perfect
so
for that system.
So you need that person to be able to control that team, and I don't believe Jeff Driscoll will be able to come in immediately and do that, but I think over time, like, give it some time, because we'll... If any of you looked at the schedule, Niners are pretty much screwed on their schedule. Like, yeah, as a Niner fan, I'm telling you right now, I do not see us winning many games. So I think he's going to have a lot of time to play in these games, even if it's garbage time or towards the later end of the season. I think that he'll be able to really show something to these coaches to actually keep him on our squad for years to come.
Yeah, and that's what you can do with the Niners when they had so many picks like that. You get a fifth-round draft pick. You can develop a quarterback like that, especially plays well in that talent. But the Raiders did the same thing, try to add some late-round offensive talent. A lot of people want him to go running back early, but this indicates to me that maybe they still have a little bit of plans on Roy Helu being a backup. Still got Latavius Murray. Maybe they'll resign him, maybe they won't. But we went ahead and took DeAndre Washington in the fifth. This was a guy out of Texas Tech, 5'8", 204, a little hamster, a little muscle hamster, little Doug Martin if you want to compare him. But this is a guy, a senior, went to the Senior Bowl, no surprise. Reggie McKenzie likes his guys, mature, a two-way running back, great guy who's got great hands. He also returned kicks, ran a 4.4940, a 7-second three-cone drill was the best at the combine, and a 4.20, 20-yard shuttle, best at the combine. So this guy, very quick, he'll come and spell probably Latavius in third down, because we know Latavius can't catch too much. This is a guy, kind of compare him to a little bit of Gio Bernard from the Bengals. He's got good hands, little speedster, comes in and spells the big man, but kind of that same body type as Maurice Jones-Drew. Not going to be the same type of production, but we'll see what the little man can do, huh?
And that's where the Niners also went. They actually went right after picking Jeff Driscoll in the sixth round. They, with their other pick, four picks later in that round, they picked Kelvin Taylor from Florida. And this is actually the former NFL player, Fred Taylor's son, who he fits our mold in the sense of having a power back, because he's not that big. He's 5'10", 270. He's big like that, but his speed's not great. 4.6, 40 for somebody as a running back, you need to have a little bit of agility with that. So I believe that he might be coming in maybe as a third down back, but he's got to earn that throughout practice to get that, because he only rushed for over 1,000 yards, barely, 1,035 with 13 TDs. Not crazy stats, but once again, low risk, high reward, and that's the way the Niners have been doing it.
Yes, especially this late in the draft. You're not looking for guys who are going to be starters right away. Obviously, don't know who are going to be starters. These are guys who are going to be key pieces to help out Carlos Hyde, to help out Latavius Murray, and really can help out those teams' offense. Just some little pieces they need to be special team players, see what they could do.
Exactly. And like right after Kelvin Taylor, and two picks later, because the Niners were flourished with draft picks, they drafted the one first wide receiver that they took this draft with Aaron Burbridge out of Michigan State. And this is a wide receiver who... I didn't truly fall in love with immediately when I saw him play in college, but now watching more and more film on him and seeing the, how he's going to be able to fit our offense, I actually like the thought of him on our team because he has control in the air and he has like big play potential. He has the hands and the spin, the height that to jump up and make those spectacular catches over the shorter DBs. And he ran a 4.49 40, so not too bad. 6'1", 194. I think he'll be able to do some work if he can get that ball dropped into his in the right pocket.
Yeah, exactly. And you're looking for athletes at this point in the draft. Who can you contribute? Who can you work on? Who can be a project? Who can contribute on special teams? And that's what the Raiders did with their sixth-round pick. They took Corey James, outside linebacker, inside linebacker, out of Colorado State. This is a guy who's big. He's athletic. He's a big 6-foot linebacker, 229, but he runs a 4.59. So that was actually one of the best 40s at the combine. So this is a guy, he played both middle and outside linebacker. Very versatile. He'll come back, add some depth. He'll immediately contribute on special teams. And it's a guy who was mentored his whole life by Joey Porter. So he's got a good head on his shoulders. Give this kid a chance.
And if you don't know who Joey Porter is, you need to look him up because those are big words right there, people. Joey Porter, one of the best middle linebackers to play the game. And with the round 7 to close it out for the Niners out of their last pick, which just seemed like it took a year, was the 249th overall. They drafted Prince Charles Iwuara out of Western Kentucky, cornerback. And when Trent Baalke was asked at his press conference after day 3 of the draft, asked how did he even come up on your list, and he said, he runs a 4.34. How is he not on our board? And that speed just shows that speed can get you a position. And as Marcus pointed out, at this point in the draft, it's so late, you're not going to get crazy top-tier talent who's going to make an immediate impact. But having an athlete that's versatile and can play multiple positions, just even special teams, if that man can make an effort on special teams, that will earn him a spot. Yep. And that 4.34 will help us do that for sure.
Yep, no doubt, especially when you can add a piece like that in the 7th round or later. And that's what I really like about the Raiders' 7th round pick. People say, oh, it's just a 7th round pick. Mr. Irrelevance coming up. Why do you even care about this? Why are you guys even talking about this on your guys' podcast? But because I am, Vedal Alexander, offensive guard at LSU. And this boy is big. 6'5", 326 pounds. Okay, the knock on him, he ran a 5.5, 5.7, 40. He's slow. But hey, guess what? Offensive linemen never run 40 yards in the NFL. They're never going to be running 40 yards on the field. You know who also ran a slow 40? Gabe Jackson. That's right. The big mauler for the Oakland Raiders who's been tearing it up the last few years. So we took this another big guard. He played guard and tackle at OSU. This guy was projected by many to go in the 3rd round. And to get him at 7, it's just great value. So I love that pick in a 7. It's one of my favorite of the draft.
No, definitely. That was a very great pick. Yeah, and that 40 time was real slow, especially after all big the boy 40 times that we just announced.
Right, we're
over
talking
player
about fast guys, but hey, big men don't got to move down the field. You ain't never going to see a guy running 40 yards down the field.
They don't. I can only wish to see him get an interception at the 1-yard line. I have to take it back 99.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. But overall, man, this is a pretty good 2016 draft. Like we said, there was a lot of headlines, a lot of big stories, gas mask, guys going up, guys going down. But, yeah, what a night. Overall, for the Raiders, I'm going to give it maybe around a B-plus for a draft. Great needs. There was a couple players I would have liked seen taken, but Carl Joseph is huge at safety. Jahad Ward and Shalik Calhoun just give you great depth at defensive line, guys who can add pass rushing ability because we've got some defensive linemen who are great against the run, but we really need that defensive pass rush more from the inside. So, hopefully, with a project from Jahad Ward, we can do that. Moving on later, the head scratch by Connor Cook. Hey, you know, hopefully we can trade him later, develop him and trade him. Reggie McKenzie comes to the Packers tree. They always draft a quarterback every year. They end up trying to trade him. Look what they did with Matt Flynn. Hopefully, we can do the same with Connor Cook eventually down the road. Then we got some nice pieces, a nice little complimentary pack, a linebacker that contributed to special teams, and a nice big offensive lineman. Nice depth. Gotta like it.
And for the Niners, for my analytical view, without my bias, I'm going to have to give them a B to B plus, like right in the middle of that, just because they got players, they addressed positions that needed to be addressed because we were lacking. But I just think that some of those picks could have been switched because the way I look at it, we could have had Laramie Tunsil and Miles Jack.
Yes,
and when you look at that
prospects
compared to having DeForest Buckner and Joshua Garnett, it might scratch your head just to think that was a possibility because it easily was a possibility and could have been a reality. But we slacked, but we're going to have to trust Chip Kelly and Trent Baalke and the organization that they're making the right moves. But as with my bias as a Niner fan my entire life, wearing the red and gold on my chest right now, I'm going to have to say I'm giving them a B-minus, C-plus right there just because I wanted an offensive tackle. We need that. And I was just upset that wasn't our first pick because there was a lot of great talent up on the board. I would have even taken Conklin. I would have been happy with Conklin. He's phenomenal too. But the other positions, I liked the way we closed out the draft. I loved like grabbing the cornerbacks because we need that, and grabbing two and not dealing with like the off-field issues with Rashard Robinson, because I really believe that if he can just play, he's going to be great. He will be phenomenal for us. And once again, Ronald Blair with that pick from Appalachian State, that defensive lineman will do us wonders. And those offensive linemen that we grabbed are going to allow us some depth. And that is going to go great because we have not been great with injuries, and that happens. And the way retirement's been looking, we're going to lose Joe Staley soon. So we're going to need to have that position filled, and having them being mentored by him in the last couple of years will be great. But my favorite pick of the draft is going to be Jeff Driskel for the Niners, just because we don't have a quarterback. And at the end of the day, I'd rather be happy having him in that offense running that than Blaine Gabbert. I'm sorry. And if you guys cannot see that, then you guys can just have to see us lose when we start the regular season. But I hope not that happens.
But what about Sacker pick? Crickets.
And that wraps up our 2016 coverage of the NFL Draft. That's right, the Bay's Golden Days. That's right, we're going to bring you the best podcast out of the Bay Area soon, talking about all the NBA action. We got the NBA playoffs, Warriors. We're in the playoffs right now. The Giants have won 3 championships in the last 5 years. Los Gigantes are going back for it. It's an even year. That's right. And the Oakland Raiders and the Niners, like you've seen, have gone through the draft and added some key pieces to it. And, you know, we got to give some love to the San Jose Sharks
as
well.
Yes, we do. Just winning today, making it 2-0 against the Predators. Let's go, Sharks.
And that's right. So we'll keep you covered in all the Bay Area sports, all the top Bay Area athletes, bring you some cool stuff to share. Look for us quick. We'll be out here. Bay's Golden Days on Instagram. You can find us. We got our website coming soon. And also look for us to be official on iTunes. That's right. We're getting on iTunes quick. Do whatever you got to do. Tell your kids. Tell your wife. This is Bay's Golden Days.
Hide your kids.